Hey friend, I created a new resource specifically with you in mind. It is called 5 Crucial Strategies to Start and Grow Your Business for Sustainable Success Without Social Media. So if you've downloaded any of our free resources before, this one is like those on steroids. There is so much depth to it and so much value. I know you're going to love it. There are 5 key/crucial strategies that you can start implementing today to see growth in your business. So whether you're just starting out or you have been trying to grow your business for 1 to 5 years, you're going to find some great information in this ebook. Again, it's called 5 Crucial Strategies to Start and Grow Your Business for Sustainable Success Without Social Media. And you can access that by going to the link in the show notes or heading over to the website, therobingraham.com/resources. Welcome to The Robin Graham Show, the go-to podcast for small business owners and entrepreneurs who want to grow and scale their businesses and achieve success without social media. Social media can result in comparison, doubt, and imposter syndrome that will ultimately hold you back from achieving your goals and dreams and the purpose God has called you to. And you don't need it to achieve sustainable success. There are myriad marketing strategies you can adopt to reach your soulmate clients and create opportunities for limitless earning potential. Hey friend, I'm Robin Graham, a former pharmacist turned business growth strategist and coach specializing in growing successful businesses without social media. I love to share everything I've learned in my 23 plus years of experience as a business owner. I'm also the author of You, Me, and Anxiety. If you want to follow your God-led calling and uncover joy, purpose, and passion in your life and business while having an impact, making money, and bringing glory to God in the process, you're in the right place. I'm creative, strategic, and techie, all rolled into one. If you can't figure out what's holding you back in your business, chances are we'll help figure it out for you. Each week, I and my guests will teach you how to grow your business without social media, in addition to various strategies that you can employ to do so, like marketing, faith, SEO, personal branding, PR, email marketing, sales, tech, tools, systems and processes, and automation, the behind-the-scenes stuff you need to simplify in order to grow and scale and retain clients. And we'll also cover mindset and mental health too. Listen each week to get the best advice to help you create the life and business of your dreams while staying aligned with your values and faith in Jesus so that you can build a solid foundation, fulfill your purpose, and help create a ripple effect of good in the world. If you're tired of overthinking, spinning in circles, and doing all the things with minimal results, great, because I am all about simplicity, ease, and grace. Be sure and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And visit the website, therobingraham.com, where you'll find a plethora of free resources and all the show notes. Now grab your cup of coffee or the dog's leash and let's dive in. Hey, beautiful friends. Welcome back to another episode of The Robin Graham Show. I am here today with another special guest, Donna Serdula, and we are going to talk all things LinkedIn. But what we're going to focus on is a little bit different than other episodes we've had before, which I will, of course, link in the show notes for you so you can go back and learn even more about LinkedIn and really start using it to grow your business and showcase yourself as an authority and an expert in your niche. But for today, we're going to talk about how you can actually align with your values on LinkedIn, how you can get loud on LinkedIn, and really showcase who you are, what you do, and how you serve your clients so that you can attract more of those soulmate clients. Without further ado, Donna Serdula, welcome to The Robin Graham Show.
Hey, Robin. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. I am really happy that you're here. We just got reacquainted. We actually officially met you guys a little over 4 years ago. So it's really cool to see how things come full circle. And here we are having a similar conversation again today. But before we dive in, will you tell the listeners a little bit about you, how you got to this point in your journey?
Yeah. You know, I've been doing this since 2009. It seems like such a long time. But back in the day, I saw so much potential with LinkedIn. you know, I think coming from a sales background, even a CRM background, I immediately saw the potential of having a profile and building your network. These are really, really important things in one's career as well as in, you know, for businesses. What I remember the most was really struggling. I knew that the profile was important and people were checking me out, just like I was checking other people out. But, you know, I wanted to say something on the profile that would engage and get people interested. And it was so hard. I remember it was like hard to write about myself. It didn't matter if I was a good writer or not. I just, when it came to me, like I couldn't find the words. I didn't even know what to even write about. And so for me, that was the big point. It was like, if I'm having this issue, other people are struggling. Mm-hmm. And yes, we can ignore it. But if we ignore it, you know, we're not going to get the benefit. We're not going to get all these positives and these wonderful things that can happen. So that's what I had done. I said, I'm going to put out that shingle and I'm going to help people embrace LinkedIn and really help them tell that story and really get to the, you know, understand who they are, what they're doing, why it matters, so they can collide with opportunities and have massive success.
I love that. Collide with opportunities and have massive success. So tell me this, Donna, when people are approaching LinkedIn and they are struggling with their telling their story or writing something engaging that will attract their clients, like how should one approach that?
Yeah. The first thing you do, Robin, is you stop. Just stop writing, because that's the issue, right? We don't even know what we're saying. So you've got to sort of take, three steps back and take a breath and then answer some questions. So the first question is, why are you on LinkedIn? Like, what are you really hoping to accomplish? Are you doing this because you want to attract clients? Are you doing this because you want to be seen in a very specific, certain way? You know, are you doing this because, hey, maybe you are looking for a new position, a new job. Maybe you're looking for investors or partners. Like there's different reasons. It's not always, I want a job or I want new clients. There's a whole bunch of other reasons. So get really, really clear why you're on LinkedIn. Then you need to think about your target audience. What do they need to know about you? What do they want to know about you? What do you want them to know about you? You know, and what's important? What are their pain points? What does success mean to them? Like you need to start to think of those questions and what the answers are. Then you want to take another step. And that next step is, if they were looking for you, if your ideal clients were actually looking for you, but they didn't know you existed, what keywords would they be typing in trying to find you? Right? That's important, because once we know those keywords, then we can start to use that in our narrative, in our context, right? And so once you do that exercise and you ask yourself those deep questions, now the narrative is going to start to write itself a little bit, right? Because now you have a better vision of what you're presenting. And you're also looking at yourself a little bit more objectively. You're no longer saying, hey, it's just about me. Now it's about your target audience. Now it's about their problems and their pain and their success and, you know, their business outcome. So it makes it a little easier.
Oh, I love this so much, because as you're talking about this and getting to know, you know, making sure you know your soulmate client, ideal client, and then also the pain points they have so that you can use those keywords or key phrases. I don't know if you know this, Donna, but I'm huge in SEO. So that is like so, so important. But to be able to have those words so that when somebody's typing in something, they're seeking something, we come up as the solution.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I always say, like, you have to feel bad for people who are searching on LinkedIn, right? Because they're searching with this hope and this dream that they're going to find their solution. And then they start to scroll through the search results. And the search results, it's a person who's kind of blurry, you know, like the picture's not that great. You know, the headline is maybe just their current title and the company that they work for. Like there's not this, it rarely is there that oh my gosh, this is the person that I want to be. Like, this is who I want to talk to. This is someone who's speaking my language. This person looks like my savior, right? Yeah. Like, that's not usually the case. Like, they're sort of pouring through these dull, dry, boring search results.
Yeah.
So if you can make yours pop, your phone's going to ring.
Yeah. You said something there that I think is absolutely critical, and that is the photo. I know I've read stats where, you know, if you are someone, and most of our audience is entrepreneurs or small business owners, but it applies because people will scroll right past if you don't have a good photo. And I see it all the time. And I get so many of these ridiculous sales DMs, right? These people don't have any idea who I am, but here they are to sell to me right away, immediately, straight out of the gate. And I look at their picture and I'm like, why would I hire you? Like, you don't look professional. If I'm going to hire someone, I want professionalism because I'm a professional business. I want to be represented professionally. So it automatically, I think, reduces the trust factor.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, like, is this the world that we want to live in, where we're judging people based upon the way they look, that all of that value is being placed on a person's face? Like, it's horrible, but it's true. And we all do it. I wish it was different. I totally wish it was different. But at the same time, I see it all the time. In our minds, we know what an entrepreneur looks like. We know what an executive looks like. I am not talking about your hairstyle or the color of your skin. I'm talking about the clarity of the image. I'm talking about how that face looks confident. I'm talking about the way that the clothes fit, and it's a quality.
Mm-hmm.
And if that alone, and that's why I love working with the headshot crew photographers, because they do executive presence coaching when they take your photo.
Yeah.
It's not about like just smile. It's, are you exuding confidence?
Mm-hmm. There was a study done it was a researcher in Princeton, and he wrote a book. I was just turning to look at my bookcase to find it, because when I was in photography, that's all I did was headshots. But it was literally bringing the soul out of the eyes and the smile. And confidence was key. But he studied this and how people will determine whether or not you're trustworthy in like less than a second. It is so fast. And that's why that headshot is so important. Because it's not about whether you're pretty, you're old, you're young, you have long hair, short hair, blue eyes, brown eyes. That doesn't matter. What matters is that you look professional and confident. And I think that's the emphasis, is the eyes are the gateway to your soul. Like, plain and simple, that is how people are going to recognize whether they can connect with you.
Yeah.
So, okay, enough about that. I could talk about that stuff all day long. But I think something else you said about, you know, having those keywords and how it's kind of bad, like you feel sorry for someone who's searching for something on LinkedIn. But even if they're searching on Google, the LinkedIn profile will come up. And that's why I like to think of LinkedIn not as social media, but more of an opportunity to grow our network, but also for search engine optimization, because you don't have to have a hashtag in order to be found. Those keywords and key phrases are actually discovered by other search engines.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I remember back in the day when I was in sales, back when I was an employee, and I would, you know, as I was cold calling, I would look, you know, I have to talk to this person. Let me put their name into the search engine. Let me Google their name and let me see what pops up. Time and time again, I mean, invariably, the very first result, the only result, was their LinkedIn profile.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and the funny part is, even today, when I do Google a person and it's their LinkedIn profile and then it's their website, I like to go to the profile first. You know, I find that that's going to give me a little bit more almost candid information, because not only am I now looking at their profile, but I'm looking at their entire career trajectory. I'm looking at where they went to school. I'm able to see their network. I'm able to see their interests. I'm also able to see, how relevant they are because I can see what they're posting and what mm-hmm. they're commenting on. It's a much deeper, a deeper flavor of that person than I would if I just went to their website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. So let's talk about that profile then. So we know we need that catchy information in mm-hmm. the bio right at the top yeah. where, so the picture, the bio, or whatever you call that little area. And then what else is important to have on that profile?
You know, when we look at the top, right, the top feeds into the search engine results. Mm-hmm. So that's important. There is your picture, there's your name, and there's your headline. Those are the areas that are almost always there within the search results. So we want to make sure those pop. Absolutely. The headline is so important. And you have to strike a balance, Robin, because you don't, you're going to hear a lot of people say, you want to be salesy. You want to tell, you know, when make a promise. But if you're too salesy, you're going to come across as like one of those people who are doing those pitch slaps, right? And you don't want to do that. So you've got to find a way of weighing your benefit statement with your keywords, but also with your credibility marker, right? Your, mm-hmm. your title, your company. So that in itself is something that you should spend time really looking at and thinking about. Because you don't want to come across as so salesy that you don't care, that you're just mm-hmm. looking for a sale. That, and people won't connect with you because they see that. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part. The other thing is once they land on your profile, because they, you know, they like your smile, they like the headline, this person looks real, let's check them out. Now they're at the top of the profile and there's the background image. You know, so if you're looking at your profile, if it's gray and stripy, that means you've got the default background image. You want to upload something. But that's the other piece. You know, with Robin, you want to make sure that the background image reflects your brand. You know, and so, yeah, you might like flowers or you might like the beach, but it's not necessarily something you want to lead with. But with that said, you know, it might not be a bad way of getting people to start a conversation. I had a client who, he was a bigwig in advertising in New York, and he had uploaded a picture of himself because he was a cyclist. He loved, you know, doing the long haul, you know, cycling, and he uploaded a picture of himself on the background image. And he found that that was far more successful than when he put his company logo up there because there were a lot of people who liked to cycle and it gave them a reason to talk to him and like him and trust him. So sometimes going a little bit off is a good idea too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it shows the personal side, right? Because whether you're in corporate or you own a business, you have a personal brand. And yeah. that's the perception that other people are going to have of you. So I think when you show something a little bit on the personal side, you open the door for a perception of, oh, okay, so this guy is interesting. Like he has a hobby. He cares about his body and being physically fit, but he also is driven because, you know, long haul cyclists are definitely not for the faint of heart. Right.
Oh,
so, you know, I love that. I think that's really important to show a little bit of the personal side.
Yeah. And I mean, right now we're at a watershed moment with AI, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to find that it's becoming more and more important to showcase our humanity, to show, you know, the more person and personalized aspects of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, yeah, I could use AI to generate something, but you know what? Maybe I really do want to consult with someone who has spent years and understands the nuances and can really give me something that's, you know, more successful and more poignant than what AI is going to generate. So, mm-hmm. you know, and then if you can really build into that and say, you know, yeah, this is who I am. And these are the things that I care about. And there's that intersection. I think that's what's going to draw people to say, yeah, I want to work with a human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think AI is sometimes a starting point, but it's not the end all be all. Like we really have to customize it and personalize it to ourselves. So that was a great point that you brought in there. Okay. So now we kind of have the top, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can actually link. So if you are a business owner, you can actually link to where you want people to go find more about you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We now have the ability to add, if you have a services page, And that's something that's really, really new, Robin, where before the services page was something that you had to click to go to from the top of the profile, to now it's getting embedded into the profile itself. So if you have a services page and you're showcasing your services, now not only do you get the link at the top of your profile, but you get this beautiful listing of your services. And if you are a premium member, you can have a carousel of images. You can have a request proposal button. It really has revved up LinkedIn in terms of business.
Yeah. Well, okay. So this was totally worth having you on because I didn't know there was this new service page. So now I have to go and update my profile.
Yeah. So what you're going to want to do is when you get to your profile, go to add profile section, add to profile, mm-hmm. and then look for services. And that's where you'll be able to go in. And there is a list, like a huge laundry list of services. The problem is not every single service is listed. So hopefully you will find your service in there. If it's not in there, you can't really do other, unfortunately. So you choose.
Oh, that's true. A lot of business, like a lot of platforms only have like marketing or something like that. Or life coaching, they don't have specific like business growth strategy or business coaching. You know, it's so yeah. you're kind of stuck sometimes with what maybe I have seen that now that you're saying that. I think I might have seen that. I have to go check that out.
Yeah, check it out because here's the thing. If you had checked it out like a year ago and what your service wasn't there, keep checking back because they're constantly adding new ones. And to be honest, I'm often surprised at the services they do have listed. I was in there not too long ago and they had bartender and floral, floral design. Like,
wow.
Wouldn't really associate that with LinkedIn, you know, maybe Facebook, right? But LinkedIn, that seemed a little odd to me, but they have it. So you never, don't dismiss it. Definitely do search and check.
Yeah. Okay. So then we have the about section. And I know this is not a resume. Like this is mm-hmm. not writing your resume or just copying and pasting your resume onto LinkedIn. So the about section is really about telling a story, right? Or if you are a business owner or entrepreneur, maybe even doing sort of a case study and sharing social proof, or tell us what you recommend in the about section.
I will say this. There is no one way or the highway. I recently saw someone stating, well, the about section has to be written in first person narrative voice. And I will say for the longest of time, that was something that I would always say, oh, you know, it's best to write it in first person because a lot of times people were taking an old bio and repurposing it. And that was written in third person. So, you know, like, yeah. Don't do that. But, you know, there are times when you can, yeah, definitely write it in first person. That's great. But you can also write it in second person, where you're speaking directly to the person and you're using the word you. So mm-hmm. it's the difference being I love coffee versus you love coffee. Third person would be she loves coffee, right? So, you know, you could do it in, you know, speaking directly. Do you have these issues? Are you looking to improve your life? And then you can switch to first person. Well, I can help you do these things. So mm-hmm. it's not like it's one way or the highway there. And it really always goes back to, you know, what is your goal and who is your target audience? I've worked with some very high level executives who've said to me, I really don't want to spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. I'm just there because I need to be. I'm not there because I want to interact. Heck, a third person narrative isn't a bad way to go in that situation. We want that distance between uh-huh. you and the reader. So, but let's say, right, you know who your target audience is, you know their pain points. You also know who you are and what you want them to know about you. Well, think of this as a digital introduction. You know, really think about, you know, what are those credibility builders? Because that about section is truncated. It's collapsed. That first like three lines should be intriguing. It should be interesting. It should get a person to go, oh, I got to click that see more, right? And then when they click the see more, you do want it to keep building where a person's like, oh my goodness, this is someone that I like. They're funny. They've done some really awesome things. But even more so, I get the sense that they understand who I am and, you know, the help that I need, you know, and so you do want to get very, very clear again, why are you on it? Who is your target audience? And, you know, what do they need for success? What are those business outcomes that they are expecting?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And then there are so many things on the profile too, like your feature section, the recommendations and all of those. Do you have other like strong tips that people should be aware of with the other sections?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I see, these are issues that I see often, which is a person will update their profile 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 3 years ago. It doesn't matter, but they update their profile. They put all this effort into it and they are perfectly aligned for where they are at that moment in time. And then as is the case with us humans, day after day, nothing really seems to change, right? Life just keeps going on until all of a sudden you look back and you realize that everything has changed. Everything is different, but that profile has remained stagnant. And so typically what then happens is a person will go, oh, all right, let me update it. You know, I've had a job change. I have a new business, but everything else that they had written in the past stayed the same. They didn't go back. They didn't cull. They didn't weed. And so what happens is that the profile starts to look almost like a pyramid. And the most current stuff has the least amount of information, but the older stuff has a ton of information. And with the algorithm is looking for keywords and content, and all of that content is in the past. And so they start colliding with opportunities that are they're like, it's not qualified for them, right? It's old, it's lower level. And they think, oh gosh, LinkedIn is useless. The truth of the matter is you've got to flip it. So the most current stuff has the most content. And as you go backwards in time into positions that and businesses that you don't ever want to do again, has the least amount of information.
That's interesting. So do you delete old content off?
I don't want to change the trajectory, but there's no need for us to go into all of this information about customer service if you never want to do customer service again.
Yeah.
Right. So we want to keep the framework, but we don't need to have as much information as we did back in the day, because that was all that we had. But now there's so much more above it. And it's what have you done for me lately? That's what's most important.
And you're talking about now, like on the profile section where it's talking about the experiences. Okay. Not necessarily going through and deleting old posts, but focusing on the experiences.
It's the experiences. Okay. And you know, with the posts, it's a little bit more, you know, those things age away. Those things age away. Now, with that said, maybe you posted once 5 years ago. Maybe you don't want to delete it, but maybe we want to put some new stuff on top of that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that could be even sharing someone else's post that is in your area of expertise or, you know, and then commenting that, oh, this resonated with me because. So then you're giving your perspective and showing your authority in that area as well. Not to supersede the person's post, but to, you know, acknowledge that, oh, I respect this and here's why. And yeah. So, yeah, you know, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, the profile is such a foundational piece of LinkedIn, and it's the piece where you can truly lose control very easily, right? Because it's not something that you have to, they're not reminding you constantly to go back and update it. And again, like life changes slowly. So it's easy to suddenly look back and go, oh my gosh, that's from a different brand ago. It's from a different life ago. So it's one of those things that it is foundational and you do want to keep going back to it, you know, because one, when we talk about SEO and we talk about, you know, the search algorithm, no one knows the real, you know, algorithm for the, you know, what's going to be a successful post and what's going to get your profile to the top. Like no one truly knows. That's hidden. But what we can do is we can say what makes sense. And so what we think of LinkedIn and we think of, you know, the search engine piece of it, you know, does LinkedIn want to show a profile in the search results towards the top that hasn't been touched in 3 months or 8 months or two years? No, we know that. You know, if I was a search engine, I would want to show the profiles that have been most recently updated because that's the most fresh, it's the most current, and the person's the most active and clearly takes it seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, let's just, we have about three-ish minutes left. So let's, I know it goes by so fast.
How did that happen?
I know, right? So we talked before we started recording about getting loud on LinkedIn, and I mentioned that in the intro. So what is your perspective on that? Like, how do we get loud? How do we get found? How do we get seen? And we talked about the SEO, but what do we do after that?
You know, with getting loud on LinkedIn, so there is the profile piece, you know, like having a strong profile, having it reflect your brand, having it articulate, you know, who you are and what you do and your dreams and your future. Like, there we have it. But then it's the everyday going on LinkedIn, scrolling through the feed, you know, interacting with people, posting, joining the conversation through the comments, but then starting your own conversation. You know, that's the posting. And that's something that, you know, I think for a lot of people, you have to make that commitment. You have to say, you know what, my brand is important, my thought leadership is important, and I really do, I want to engage on this platform. What you want to do first, so before I said you'd have to know your goal and your target audience. Well, in this situation, what you want to do is you want to just, again, stop. And don't try to immediately get loud. Again, don't just write, but first start to scroll through the feed. You know, do it on your phone, do it on your desktop, whatever, you know, whichever is your more familiar and comfortable device. But spend a week just scrolling. I find that so many people want to get loud, but they're not engaging and they're not reading anything first. Mm-hmm. So you've got to scroll through and sort of learn the dialect, learn and see what people are posting and what's doing well and what's not doing well and what engages you. So do that for a week. Just scroll for 15 minutes every morning, scroll and see what's going on. Then the second week, what you want to do is the second week, you want to say, all right, you know, I'm going to continue to scroll, but now I'm going to engage. I'm going to like, I'm going to comment. I'm going to start to join these conversations and really see, you know, like what does engage you? What makes it easy for you to converse and, you know, interact with these posts. Once you do that, so you've scrolled for a week, you've commented for a week. Now you're at that point where you have to say to yourself, all right, I've experienced it. I've sort of done a gestalt, you know, immersion into it. I know what I've enjoyed. I know what people like. Now it's time to post. And as much as I would love to tell everybody post every day, I post almost every day. That's my goal, is to post every day. It's hard. It's hard to run a business. It's hard to come up with this information. And so even though it's a good thing to do, don't feel that you have to. Don't feel like you have to. If you can do it once a week, if you could do it twice a week, if you could do it once every 2 weeks, but just choose that cadence and stick to it. Mm-hmm. And just do it with the frequency isn't that you're doing it often. It's that you're just doing it consistently.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to say that a lot too. When you're trying to build your personal brand, consistency is key when you're with anything. And the important thing is deciding what works for you, not trying to do what everybody else is doing or everybody else says you're doing. Consistency means you're posting at a regular pace that works for you. So I love that you said that. And oh shucks, there was something else I was going to ask you and now I forgot. We're going to go here. So is there a difference? Because, I know what I was going to say, and this is really important, actually. I was going to say that when it comes to creating content, if you're struggling for content ideas, if you have a blog, that should be your evergreen, your core content, that content that is always there on a platform you own. Go back to those blogs and then use that content and create posts out of those, because you can always say you can read more at the blog. So then from an SEO perspective, you're driving traffic back to that. So if you're struggling with how to write a blog, how to write a blog for SEO, or how to use a blog as your core cornerstone or evergreen content, I will link in the show notes the blog course that we have that will give you everything you need to know to start or to grow a blog and just start using that as your content so that you're not having to feel stressed and pressured about coming up with content ideas. So my last question for you about content is there a difference? I see a lot of people will post what's on Instagram or Facebook and then repost it to LinkedIn. Is that okay to do? Or is there a difference in how you approach the content on LinkedIn in terms of the phraseology, the words you use, the pace of the post, those kind of things?
I think there's a huge difference between Instagram and LinkedIn. And so, here's the thing. You have to know the platform. You have to know your target audience, which one's on which. And if you have the same network on both, do you think they're happy seeing the exact same stuff from you twice? Not really. So maybe it's really looking and saying, okay, on the LinkedIn platform, this is where I'm going to concentrate. And even though LinkedIn, it's text-based, it does like imagery, but it really likes imagery of you looking natural, that selfie, that human. And so, you can look at what you've done on Instagram and then change it around, and make it work for that platform. One of the things that works really well on LinkedIn is the document posts where it's a PDF and, you click through it and you learn something and it's a little easier, more bite-sized, it's more graphic. And I think people like it because of how different it is from just a regular block of text. So mm-hmm. That's something that you can look at and say, all right, I did this on Instagram. Maybe I can take three different posts and combine them into a document mm-hmm. post.
Mm, I love that. That's a great recommendation. And we're of the same thought. Like I knew that. I think there's a difference in how you even start, like your hook is different yeah. on LinkedIn versus a social platform. So, okay, we have to wrap, but will you please tell the listeners where they can find you, connect with you. And I know you have a book as well. So be sure and plug that.
Yeah, I do. I have a For Dummies book, believe it or not. So it's an actual official For Dummies book. And you can find it on Amazon. It's LinkedIn Profile Optimization For Dummies. We also have a AI instant profile program. So if it's something that you do want to do on your own and you want to, just utilize AI, I've created all the prompts and you can check it out on my website, linkedin-makeover.com. Just click over to services and you'll see it, instant profile. But, I think for some people, you do need to work with someone. And if you do need help telling your story, articulating your vision, understanding what you bring to the table, understanding that values and really targeting that right message for your target audience, we have, human-led services where we'll get you partnered with a writer and through interviewing and talking to you, we'll really understand, what separates you and we'll be able to create something that's very authentic and very genuine, engaging, and it brings good things to your life.
Yeah, that's awesome. It brings opportunity, right?
Brings opportunity. It brings changes. It brings good things. And oftentimes, we say opportunities, but maybe it's colliding with investors or partners or new vendors or it could be reporters or journalists or speaking opportunities or, board of directors. There's so many different things that can come your way. And a lot of times we get fixated on, I'm looking for a client or I'm looking for a job. Opportunity can take so many different views.
Sometimes it's even just meeting one person, growing your network by one person that is who you absolutely needed or wanted or just was meant to meet. So yeah, so many really good things. All right. Well, Donna, thank you so much for being here. This was such a pleasure. I appreciate you immensely. And listeners, if you would be so kind to share the episode with anyone you know that could use a LinkedIn makeover, or who is just trying to do it themselves but is confused, not quite sure what to put where, please share the episode with them. And if you'd be so kind to leave a rating and review, that warms my heart every single time. And it also helps me get great, credible guests like Donna. So thank you so much for being here, and we will see you all next time. And that's a wrap, friends. A heartfelt thank you for being here. I know there are many other ways that you could spend your time, so I truly appreciate you joining me. If you enjoyed this episode and found the information helpful, please take a moment to subscribe and leave a rating and review. Ratings and reviews are how we grow and get amazing guests and how more people find the show. A kind review would mean the world to me. Oh, and don't forget to share the episode with someone that it will help. And let's connect. You can find me on Pinterest and LinkedIn as therobingraham.com. And be sure and visit the website, therobingraham.com/resources, for a plethora of resources to help you grow your business for long-term success. Until next time, remember to smile.